Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. Interesting. Mm. That's why you need Robert Half. Yep. I don't think that's a person. That's the company.
Okay, I was confused.
Yeah, their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI. Welcome to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing, and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. See, at Robert Half, they know talent. I wish I had had Robert Half back in the day when I was hiring.
Okay.
So, no offense, Sona.
Oh, I feel like you did mean to offend me.
Yes, you wouldn't be here if I had had Robert Half. Okay. Visit RobertHalf.com today. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, and a vehicle.
Mm.
Or with Nest Doorbell, even a package. I can't tell the difference between those things. That's incredible. And with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you get 30 days of event video history. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT. ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.
Hi, my name is John Mayer. And I feel accepted about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Well, this is very exciting, and I don't say that often. And even when I do say it, I don't mean it. Like now. But I am serious. I shouldn't say that. I am excited. Because I'm back working with an old friend slash enemy. You'd call him frenemy.
A frenemy.
I think he's more enemy than friend. So I'm just going to say fenemy and just lose the R part of frenemy.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Jordan Schlansky.
Friend.
If you're a fan of Conan O'Brien and all he does, and yes, I talk about myself in the third person, then you know that my nemesis is a Mr. Jordan Schlansky, someone who's been working with me for many years. We've had many adventures. They're all online. People stop me all the time and say, oh my God, what's the deal with that freak? You two make me laugh. We've traveled the world together. Well, now we have a show together. And if you want to hear it, you can listen to it. It's the Conan and Jordan Show, I believe it's called. I'm just making that up on the fly, but I think that's what it's called because it's the least imaginative thing I could think of. And that tends to be what people come up with around here. So I think it's called the Conan and Jordan Show. And there are already two episodes available on the Sirius XM app. All you have to do is just search Conan. Or if you got yourself some nice Sirius XM radio, you can go to my channel, Conan O'Brien Radio. It's the Conan O'Brien channel, and it's on 104.
Mm.
And you can check it out. If you've ever seen the two of us talk, it's really like watching two mad dogs fight each other, except one is a really good dog, mad dog, and the other's just a dog named Jordan, who's not good.
What?
Anyway, Jordan, what do you think of my promotion so far?
Yes. Well, it's good to see that you're promoting it. For the longest time, I wasn't convinced that we had a show. You know, I come into this facility and I record things and I was told that some of those things will go on a show, but I've seen no evidence. There's been no...
You wouldn't see it. You'd hear it.
There's been no launch party. I have not
launch been, party.
There's been no. I would assume when you reach a certain level of achievement, when you have your own radio show, the environment around you would support a sense of accomplishment. I don't. No one has congratulated me. I don't feel.
Oh,
I don't feel like there's any
Jordan.
I don't know what machine
Jordan,
is behind.
I understand.
This. Yes,
it's always good to understand the arc of a career.
Uh-huh.
Really appreciate the arc of a
right.
career. Now, Ronald Reagan had a terrific arc. He started out in radio, then he went into movies and television, and then he ended up being the leader of the free world. And then he gracefully left the stage. I've chosen a different arc. I started out in television, and I've worked my way into radio. and I've brought you with me. Back in the old TV days when we were on network television, we were throwing parties left and right. Those days are over. There's no party for you. There's no party for me.
I'm saying, how does this compare to when you got your late night show in 1993
for you?
In terms of the celebration?
This is like if it's akin to you're walking down the street and you see a walnut out of its shell on the sidewalk and you pick it up and you debate it for a moment and you eat it and it tastes pretty good. That's what this should feel like to you.
Okay.
This is finding a walnut
right.
out of its shell. Out of its shell, but you still pop it in your mouth. Jordan, I'm excited about this. You and I have a chemistry that can't be bottled. You know why?
No.
It would be a terrible product. Mm. But I'm excited about it because I think these are going to... I've listened to the two shows. They're very funny. And I'm excited for people to hear these.
I've not heard the shows because I don't have a serious subscription.
Why not?
I haven't been given a subscription.
What do you mean you
haven't,
been given?
Formally engaged.
Oh, this is the problem.
I haven't been engaged by Sirius. That's why I'm not convinced I have a show.
This is the problem. This is the problem.
Am I supposed to sign a contract of some sort?
This is the problem.
Because no one has reached out to me.
Please. I got your ex a long time ago, and I just keep reprinting it. Let me tell you something. For you to say you don't have Sirius because you haven't been given it is so indicative of you and your generation.
Isn't that a reasonable expectation?
No.
That there would be some kind of subscription given so I can hear my own work?
No.
I'm not aware when new episodes even come out. I don't have any information. You know more than I do about this show. I've not heard any of it.
Okay. First of all, I don't think it's important that you hear the show or appreciate the show.
When does it come on? Like, how often is it on?
Go on the SiriusXM app.
I can't go on the app because I don't have a login.
Oh, because nobody gave you one. Hey, let me ask you, how far do you think you'd get by?
Am I supposed to join up on my own?
And you know the rule. When I raise my hand, it means I speak.
No, I don't know the rule.
I just made it up. How do you think this would go over in Dickensian London if you walked around and I said, hey there, little boy, have you had any food? No, sir, I haven't. For no one has given me any. That's not how it works. You have to go to the factory.
What is Dickensian London? How many people know what that reference is?
Dickens,
who are you catering?
London of the 19th century.
Who knows this reference? Who is your target demographic that you're talking about, Dickensian London?
I have charts here that Sirius gave me, and it said our core demographic are people that studied the works of Charles Dickens between 1870 and 1885. That's our core demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm reading. This is a course selection for Amherst College. I'm sorry. I had the wrong piece of paper. My point is, I think we have a wonderful show.
Okay.
I don't care if you hear it or not. And no, I'm not getting you an SXM subscription.
Okay.
Because you say you work for me, but I don't see any evidence that you do.
Mm.
And yet still, you do get money from me, do you not?
There is some compensation.
Okay.
Listen to me. I was on vacation traveling for the holidays, and I was in a rental car, and there was Sirius. So I tuned to Channel 104 in the hopes that maybe I know the show has been out for a couple of months, apparently, even though I've heard really no chatter. I've tuned to the channel looking for it, and I see nothing. I see this show, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, over and over again. Look, obviously, this is the flagship show of this empire that you've created, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand. One need only look around the room, and we see the creme de la creme of the Sirius brass, top men, as they say in Raiders of the Lost Ark, which Matt Gorley would have appreciated if he was here.
He couldn't
but apparently,
be here.
Yeah, this
no,
is
no,
not
he couldn't be here.
So obviously, this is the flagship property. I understand that, and I respect that, and I'm a big fan of all your respective work. Everyone in this room and Mr. Gorley as well. I'm just curious, how does my show, obviously if there's a ranking system, this is number one.
Well, we'd have to ask someone who
in levels of importance, I'm talking about.
Mr. Gruce, do you want to just, Mr. Gruce is here and he is a very important person in the Sirius XM hierarchy. Mr. Gruce, tell us, answer some of his questions, would you please?
It's very important. I guess the question is, do you expect it to be running on a loop 24/7 on the channel?
Yeah. What kind of expectation is that? Oh, I don't get it. I don't understand. I went to the game preserve and I didn't see the grizzly right away.
Right.
You have to wait for the grizzly.
I waited for it. I waited for it for a long period
of
time.
For how long?
What I'm saying
so
is,
you're on vacation
is,
and you told your wife and your children, hey, go fucking get lost. I have to sit in this rental car and wait to hear my own voice? Is that what you did?
I thought to myself, finally, since I haven't been given a subscription, I have the opportunity to hear this work that I've been doing for the past few months. And all I keep hearing is this show. And what my question is there any show less important than mine in this empire
that
you've created?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, there is. We have a channel where Sona just reads the local weather in Venezuela.
Oh, that's really popular, actually.
Yeah.
It's been doing well. It's been doing really, really well.
Every time I turn on Sirius 104, that's what I hear.
Yeah, because it's really a very popular show.
It's her saying, muy caliente, muy caliente.
It's all the Spanish I know.
The show is kind of a little bit of what you're hearing. It's Jordan and I discussing various philosophies, ideologies. We take some calls. We debate the great issues of the day, but more often than not, we debate your stupid pronunciation of various words. It's, I guess, your attempt to show that you have some kind of superiority over the rest of us, but you just bend words in a way that no one's ever heard. I have to say, I've laughed very hard working on these shows with you. It makes me, if you really want to hear me laugh really from the belly, then you want to check out these Conan and Jordan shows. And as I said, you can go on the SiriusXM app and just search Conan, or you can check us out on
If you go on the SiriusXM app and you search Conan, that you'll get to my show?
And then you'll be offered, I guess, a menu of choices. And
yes.
The Conan and Jordan show will be in there. Mr. Gruce is approaching again.
There are about 8, 9, 10 different options, different shows that you can listen to, searching Conan.
A cornucopia, a lazy Susan of select deli meats.
If you go to the SiriusXM app and you search Jordan, will the show come up?
Michael Jordan will come up.
Oh. I see.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is
That's
he
great.
Right?
That's
you
great.
Just punch in Jordan. So,
am I a radio host? Tell people I'm a radio host?
The best you can do is say you're employed.
Right.
I think for you, that's a big deal.
But I mean, I have a show on the radio.
You do. You do have a show on the radio. You're a co-host.
Mm.
You're a junior host, a lieutenant host to an admiral host.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
I'm not qualified. I'm not media
trained.
Do you understand?
I know.
I'm not a smoothie. You know, when you listen to like Matt Gourley talk, he's very smooth.
Yes.
He's got some training.
He's oily.
He always sticks the landing, you know, like he'll go off on something and you're like, where's this going to land? And it just lands perfectly, you know?
I'm sorry. Which Matt Gourley are you listening to?
What I'm saying
is, I'm listening to.
I don't know what our show's about. I don't know what the future shows will be about. I don't even know what the past shows are about. Again, I haven't heard the shows. We come in here and I talk, I guess.
Yeah.
But we have a guy, Frank Smiley, who calls me like, you know, 5 minutes before I come in and he says, what's going on in your life? And nothing goes on in my life. So I really never have an answer. I said, well, I've been eating breakfast cereal. And then I guess we talk about breakfast cereal.
You're a great spokesperson for this show.
Yeah. Well,
let me tell you something, Jordan. I think it's a very funny show.
Yes.
I think it's one of the funnier things we're doing on in the Conan Empire. People love our confrontations and our discussions. And I think Mr. Smiley's done a wonderful job with this program. I would steer people towards this show if they wanted to really enjoy themselves. And you have a following.
Mm.
Believe it or not, I know you cashed in on it during COVID. You went on Cameo and you made dollars.
Mm.
And why you shot it in your bathroom, I'll never know. But that tends to be what people do. You and James Vanderbeek. So my question is, what is it you're lacking in life? You're working with Conan. You have a show, the Conan and Jordan show, SiriusXM. It's on the app. Just search for Conan, 104, SiriusXM.
Or more direct route, if you search for Jordan, you get right to the show. If you search for Conan, you get the other properties.
That's true.
Clog up the Sirius channel 104.
Well, it's true. I have such a wide spectrum of works that I've done, and you just have that one thing.
Is the show doing well? Does anyone have like metrics?
It's huge.
Data of some sort?
It's doing,
yeah,
look,
it's doing
Mr.
Well.
Here comes Mr. Cruz. Okay, yeah.
It's doing great. You can also check out clips on YouTube. So a lot of different avenues.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know what you're bitching about. Instead of next time when you take a family vacation, instead of throwing everyone out of the rental car, your wife, your two young children, and saying, take a walk, go shit in the woods for all I care. I've got to scan Sirius 104 and listen for my voice. Just go on the app. Okay. Mm. Save yourself a little time.
Yeah. I don't have access to the app again.
Yeah.
Reach into your pocket and some of the money that I pay you, use a little bit of that.
Is there any discount? Is there a promotional code of some sort?
There's actually a markup for you.
Oh,
there's a markup because you're really irritating me right now.
Okay.
Anyway, check it out. The Conan and Jordan show. I promise you, and I can't promise much, but it is really funny. It really makes us laugh. So, look, we've had some fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sona, would you agree that we've had a good time?
We had so much fun in this intro.
Okay, but let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I think it's time to move on to the next level.
But I want to keep talking about this.
No.
Okay.
You can't be trusted to keep jabbering as you do.
Okay.
Because we have things to do. This is a great man we're talking to. My guest today is a 7-time Grammy Award winning singer-songwriter, 7 Grammys. That's 6 more than me. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, 7 more than me.
Yes, yeah.
Because I don't have accurate. Any. Anyway, now he's launched an exclusive year-round channel on Sirius XM, Life with John Mayer. It can be found on Sirius XM, Channel 14. Wow, he's on 14. I'm on 279. That's what 7 Grammys gets you. No, I'm on 104. I'm very happy there. Anyway, Life with John Mayer can be found on Sirius XM Channel 14, as well as in the Sirius app. Thrilled he's here today. John Mayer, welcome.
I don't want to do the thing where someone says, like, you never invite me over, Dave. You know,
right.
But I have waited to be on this podcast. I've waited for you to ask me to be on the podcast for a long time. Not angrily, but that's all to say I'm excited to finally be here.
I just want to say that everyone in this room has been here when they repeatedly come in and say, what about John Mayer? And I say, I say, abso-fucking-lutely not.
Yeah.
I'm not having it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of this guitar fellow.
Yeah. Not
that's
a fan.
What I always say.
Not a fan.
I'm thrilled you're here.
I am. Thank you.
And my acting assumption is that people don't want to do it. So I'm very happy to have you. So let's clear the air on that and also clear the air on which of us is the better musician.
Oh.
Because that's a running debate.
No, it's not.
No, nobody's debating that.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different debate.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the famous Lincoln Douglas debate, which is, I'm sorry, I completely forgot because you're a virtuoso.
Thank you. You play from the heart. You play with love.
No, that's the way to put
it. That's the you have a good personality.
Well, no, when it comes to playing the guitar.
I play.
You play with great intention.
You play with your hands.
No, you did. You know
what's really funny is I've struggled throughout my life to play the guitar, and one of my go-to songs was always Bob Dylan's Buckets of Rain. I love that song, and I like to play it, and I like to sing it, and I always started to think, you know, I think I play this one pretty well. And then there was a benefit. I don't know if you'll remember this.
I do remember.
But it might have, I don't know if it was like 8 years or so ago. And you're on the benefit too. And I do my thing. And then you come out and I have no idea you're going to do this. And you start to say, I'm going to play a Dylan tune. And you play Buckets of Rain.
I remember that.
And I went home and I destroyed my guitars. And then I fed my hands into a wood chipper. Because it made such a mockery of the one song I thought I could really play with, like, feeling. And I was like, oh. And it's that thing. I'm not even Salieri looking at Mozart in this. No. I'm a chamber pot looking at Salieri, who's looking at Mozart, you know?
It didn't make you want to go home and get it more under your hands?
No.
It discouraged you.
I just understood that I am an ape who's on this earth for so much time, and there's no amount of time left where this ape is going to learn that. Do you know what I mean?
I feel that way about so many things. I tried stand-up comedy, and I did the same thing. I go, why would I want to be the 33,000th best at something when I could devote all my energies to be, you know, in the top?
Right, right.
In the conversation of the top something.
But I always, I don't know. I guess I feel like they're different. Maybe the grass is always greener, but I've heard you in interviews sort of talk about, like, yeah, I made a decision. I think you say you saw Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future, and you were like, okay, I guess I'll learn to do that. And I think, no, that's not how it happens. That is not you. There's something.
No, something else was there.
There's something in you, clearly, that isn't in other people. And so it was, in a way, it relaxed me because I thought, no, I play the guitar because I find it kind of calming for myself and I try not to inflict it on too many other people. But no, I did not watch you and say, well, I better really get at it now.
Okay, so I have a story about the time I was relaxed the way you just explained it. I was at a restaurant one night. I was at Craig's, not to brag. I was at Craig's. And
you got into Craig's?
I got into Craig's.
I keep trying. It's like you on this podcast. It just couldn't. They were like, absolutely not. But anyway, go ahead.
And Jeff Beck was in the room.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was relaxed. It's so funny to hear you say that. I went, oh, I don't have to think about how I play the guitar because the best is in the room.
So,
and it's not me.
In your mind, it's.
I was comforted. I could finally quiet down this noise in my head I didn't know was there, which is the best in the room is sitting over there. And it doesn't have to be It doesn't have to maybe be me.
Can I ask you a question, which is, when did this sighting happen? I know Jeff Beck passed not too long ago.
No, but it wasn't that long. It was probably 2018 or something.
See, this is something, I think some of this comes a little bit with getting a little older. You're still, in my book, an incredibly young person, but I think some of this came to me later. Meaning
some
I had
what?
The ability to say, yeah, that person's just so amazing and I'm not going to worry about it.
Oh, I have that now.
I think that, I don't know that I had that in my 20s. I was so, you know, teens and 20s, I was so hungry.
I was too.
And then there's this nice thing that comes later on. You know, people malign getting old, and we have this whole culture that says, you know, you, oh my God, that's terrible. And I'm, and especially in comedy, that, you know, I've turned 60 this year, and I, you know, I'm starting to get in my head a little bit about it. And then I thought, oh no, I don't know. I do what I can. And there are so many people that are so great. And I'm excited when I see how great young people are. And they're, when I'm around like a Martin Short, I relax because I go, okay, that's Martin Short. I'm no Martin Short. That's Martin Short.
I have that when I go to Hollywood parties, which I don't very often anymore. But I used to go to parties and see beautiful women and think to myself, I'd get discouraged. I'd get sad. I never even went up to them and I'd get sad. And now...
Get sad, why?
I'd get sad because I'd be so desirous of their approval.
Oh.
And their attention. I would just, I remember being so young, I'd want to leave. I don't even know what my expectation was, but it was to leave walking on air or something.
It's so
to have
funny.
Everybody just sort of knight me or something at the party. And now I walk in and I don't mean this in any sort of self-effacing way. I go, and it's freeing. They don't give a shit.
Right.
I say this, she doesn't give a shit. It's awesome because she doesn't, and that's great. So I don't even think about it. They don't care.
I have always felt sad for beautiful women because they don't get to be with me.
Oh, geez.
Because I'm taken. You know what I mean? And I know
no,
that.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Let me ask you a question.
Matt, let me just be really clear.
Please.
Do you?
They all go their whole lives and not know the orgasmic beauty.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Of being with this spam skin skeleton.
I just have an issue with you and orgasmic beauty being in the same sentence.
Oh, go ahead. Go
spam
ahead.
Spam skin.
When's the last time you left a party feeling a little small? Have you recently left a party feeling a little empty because you had a conversation with people who took a little more energy out of you than they should have left you? Can you still leave a party a little wounded spiritually?
Yes, you can always be in a situation. It's that old horrible cliche, wherever you go, there you are. But we're always seconds away from being back in high school.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't care what you've achieved or what you can do. You're seconds away from maybe feeling you misstepped or you erred or people didn't care about you or people were made assumptions about you or were rude. You're always, that can always happen. And I'm always amazed. I feel that way about audiences, which is one of the kind of magical things about comedy anyway. I don't know if it holds for music. I've always envied musicians like yourself because I feel like you can go out there and play and not be judged second to second. People aren't saying like, I don't like the way he slid into the B flat there. I didn't quite like that.
They do in Nashville.
Yeah.
In Boston.
They're very specific hecklers.
They're all musicians.
I didn't like the way you slid into the B flat. sir, I'm still playing. You're always seconds away from going out in front of people that don't care, possibly. And that possibility puts you on your guard a little bit in probably a good way. But I feel that about any social situation is I think it's wrong to think of, I always think of like a Dean Martin as a guy that could just wander in and not care and he's smoking and everyone thinks he's the coolest guy in the room. And I'm the complete opposite of that person.
I am too. I look up to everyone who isn't me. I sort of naturally...
Even me?
Anyone who, a waiter, a waitress, anyone who isn't me, I somehow look up to and defer to in a weird way, emotionally defer. I'm getting better at not doing that because it leaves me really vulnerable.
Right.
But
I'm not going to say I look up to everyone who isn't me. I think I'm a humble person. And I'm just saying that because if I say it enough, it'll be true.
Well, how about
I'm the guy that's sad for beautiful women that don't get to be with me, by the way.
For the record, that's not what I did not say. I was sad because they didn't get to be with me.
No, I said that.
Okay.
You said something very beautiful.
Because I had a giant void. An fillable void. But if you're at a restaurant.
Hey, I love that we start comparing voids. Oh. You think you got a big void?
Oh, boy.
I got a big void.
My void.
Check this void out.
My
void
void's been good contest. To me.
Oh, my God.
My void has been.
Why are you men
lucrative.
Always talking about your voids?
Oh, you two met your match. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident, so are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah. I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go anytime, anywhere. Endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy mini games. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money. Or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know when brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're at a restaurant,
yeah.
and something isn't right with the food, and it's not right enough to bring it up to the waiter or waitress, don't you defer to them?
I would never. I would never.
Why not?
Why
not?
I am.
Probably mostly, I would say 80% way I was raised was just the big thing was that I learned from my mother was you just don't want anyone to be upset with you.
That's how, that's just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this is, we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
My looking up to them is related to my not wanting to that, wanting them to be upset. It used to be, I need you to love me. And now it's, I don't want you to hate me.
Right.
So I'm getting better. I'm getting there. I want to ask a question. And it's not a rhetorical question and it's not a criticism. Why do you think it is? The largest community of people who have hurt my feelings at parties over the years mm-hmm. have been related to SNL.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it about the SNL experience? And I'm being very open-minded about it because it can't be this sort of ad hoc thing where everyone at SNL is just a little pathological. What goes on at SNL? Is it the fraternity that when you do see someone from SNL at a party...
I want to do a little bit of forensics before I proceed, which is how most comedians talk. make sure you're fully anesthetized. You don't have to name names, but are you talking about performers?
Both.
And writers?
No, not writers as much. Let's just say performers.
Okay.
Right? I don't want to get too specific. And it's not evil. It's not pointedly
mean. It feels
knee-jerk
to you. It feels almost reflexive.
It feels like a coldness because I'm open. I show up open mm-hmm. and I show up with the weird expectation other people are going to meet me there.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of pull away, this sort of if it's almost like someone on SNL has a difficult time pretending to be interested
yes.
if they're not. Does that check out?
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, it depends. I wouldn't make a blanket statement about like all SNL people.
And I don't
people.
Mean to. I don't yeah. want to. I'm yeah. just saying.
Because.
Of the people who I've left going, I feel like I hyperextended and I fell in front of them or that they walked away and weren't interested. Is that just my love of SNL?
Well, possibly. I think there is something in comedy and maybe it's particular to SNL because it's, you know, it's a two-way street here. First of all, this wouldn't happen to you if you didn't put maybe SNL on a pedestal.
I think so. I think that's part of it.
So part of the problem is maybe you putting other people on a pedestal. That's where I've been sometimes hurt before. There is a thing which is there's a too cool for school philosophy that can thrive at SNL. I've known obviously wonderful, great people there. One of the things I think that makes SNL actually really good or has helped it endure all these years is that there's a limited amount of real estate to get stuff on the show. You think about it, it's really dictated by it's a live show. Mm-hmm. So there's only so much physical real estate in Studio 8H mm-hmm. and they can only get so much show on every week. And there is a competition to get your sketch on. And so at the end of the day, you're competing with other people in the room. Now, that's just the way the show is set up. I saw a lot of lovely collaboration when I was there. And you can also see a very, you know, competitive, someone giving you, putting their shoulder into yours, like it's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, Jesus, what's this? So SNL is a very specific environment. And I think it's possible there's a kind of maybe toughness there that it can breed. Does that make sense
yes.
to you?
I wondered if it was because they're so deep in the trenches together that if you're not someone they recognize from the trenches, you can kind of feel it. If, like to your point, if they weren't huddled together in 8H having this experience that is so bonding with the people who are either writing for the show weekly or like friend of show,
mm-hmm.
that or I represent something kind of anti-comedy because I'm the tall musician guy or something. I can't quite figure it out, but I hope this is more interesting than it feels like an indictment or me talking
shit
about it.
No, it's not
it.
An indictment of I'm SNL. Curious. It's like this is an experience that you've had where you've felt like you've encountered comedians and that's a tough place.
Yeah.
That's not always the most comfortable terrarium, and anyone who worked at SNL would tell you that. So, I would contrast it say with there are other shows I've worked on like The Simpsons where the only way the show gets done is if everybody works together.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this room right now is a Simpsons writing room, I'd be praying if we were stuck on a line for Marge, I would be praying that you came up with it or Matt or Sona or Edward. I'd be like thinking, oh my God, someone get it because then we can go home.
Right.
And that wasn't always the way at SNL because SNL felt more like I joined the Marines. and it was really scary, and I got yelled at, and I had to do push-ups.
This would check out.
You know, and then, but I say that with a huge caveat, because I've talked about SNL before, and I think sometimes it's been misrepresented. I loved that job, and that job changed my life, and I learned a shit ton there, and I wouldn't change a thing. So at the same time, it's both.
Yeah,
it's both.
And mark the out point where we would edit this, because I sometimes my curiosity.
Hey, you're making my job easier. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes my curiosity sounds like this very kind of shrouded criticism of something, but it's really me going, what is it?
But can I say something else that is...
I'm on Conan's podcast, and he asked me if he could say something else. Yeah. Permission granted, Conan.
I'm sorry. I just remembered you playing Buckets of Rain, and I... my penis went up inside my lungs.
Come on.
Which is quite a void, by the way.
Oh, God. No, you had a penile embolism.
Yeah, I did. My doctor's like, what's this doing in here? And my penis is like, there's so much oxygen.
This is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
But, okay, I'm going to tell you, I have had the exact same, and I'm not a big believer in naming names, but there are certain comedians who are my generation, or maybe a little older than me, just a little bit older, but certain comedians that come from stand-up specifically who I've met over the years, and they have left me feeling that way.
Yeah,
they have
not left, broken, no, not destroyed, but, huh, okay.
You know when you have an interaction with somebody and you leave and you just have, your body knows before your mind does.
So
I leave the interaction and I feel like sometimes you bump into, and this is just not talking about famous people talking to famous people, blah, blah, blah. This is about talking to other human beings. Sometimes you bump into someone and you leave and you feel like you've been nourished. Mm-hmm. You just have this nice feeling and you just feel lifted. And I'm mentioning a name right now because I just randomly ran into him the other day, but I saw, it was in a restaurant and I'm walking out and Tom Hanks is there. And anytime I bump into that guy, I leave with this tingly, he does something.
He's Santa Claus.
That makes me feel like, that old way of like, he gave me a candy cane.
Yes.
Which I found creepy, by the way. He tried to lure me to his van. No, but, he was there with Rita and I just felt, I left and I felt like, it wasn't like oh my God, that was Tom Hanks, because I've, worked with him and done a bunch of things with him over the years and interviewed him. It was more just that he was so funny and I could see like he saw me as a person and we had this nice moment and I left and he made me feel better. And he does that for everybody. He does that for the person who's changing the oil in his car as if he goes himself.
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen him do it. It's a magic trick.
You know, and people talk about that, but he's, really beautiful that way. But these people I'm talking about, these other people who will go unnamed have just, I've had interactions with them. And when I leave, I always feel like they've just taken, there's like a little bit of shit on their finger and they put it on my forehead, like smeared it on my forehead.
So specific.
Yeah. And you know what? And also I realized later on, they did do that.
Conan.
These are very specific people who put their hand, their finger up their ass and then they anoint you.
Conan.
They do it.
Like Ash Wednesday.
You know, it's true. It's like Ash Wednesday, but with shit.
You may not be able to play the guitar like you want to, but you are a born lyricist.
That's why we're going to write a song. Shit Finger Jones is going to be. All I know is that it's in E.
Shit Finger Jones. Have you heard the Decca box set of Shit Finger Jones?
Oh, some of the deep cuts are fantastic. He has a urine phase, which is not good. But it's acoustic.
That's when he went to Austria. And had
his Bowie thing.
It was the 70s. He couldn't get arrested in the States. He ended up in Austria under the Alligator Records imprint.
But all I'm saying is that there is always...
By the way, it is such a great metaphor for someone who has a great thing going with Shit Finger Jones and then one day goes, what about piss?
Yeah.
And then everybody goes, we don't like the piss thing. We like to use the shit thing. Which
we tried.
We
tried. We have tapes. We can play for you. It didn't work. We tried piss.
The label came to him and said, it's all about piss now.
Yeah. When you put urine on someone, they don't always know that it was urine.
It's a backwards
move. You feel like sweat. Yeah. It's going back.
Yeah.
It's going back. It's regressive.
And that is TikTok.
But exactly.
In a world of shit, I'm being sold piss.
But there's your lyric right there. Just cut me in for 1%. But John, seriously, like, I have, that is the exact feeling I've had with these people and may have again, yeah, yeah, where there's like a little bit of a condescension. And I feel like I extended myself and tried to be, hey, the puppy dog, and then left, and I'm driving home, and I just feel
a little small, like, just a little, yeah, deflated, a little, yeah, two-dimensional.
And I think that's everybody.
So
that's
here's
everybody.
What I think it comes down to. Certain people are nourishers, and certain people can give energy, and other people defend their energy. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a nourisher. I want to show up with another person who's going to meet in the middle, and we're going to give. If you're not that way, and I shouldn't expect everyone to be that way. I know that I'm not rare, but it's not everybody who thinks like I think, which is, wow, how can I give to this experience? How can I, like I'm saying, looking up to people who aren't me, wanting to give to people who aren't me. Other people who can do that with you, it's the greatest jam out in the world. But not everyone has that. Other people survive by way of preserving what energy they have, not
right,
giving it in hopes the other person's going to give it back. And I think that's the polarity issue,
right,
with comics, and we don't have to name anyone. It's also sometimes musicians, but musicians are more of a closed loop in what makes them happy and where their validity comes from, their validation comes from. So if a giver is talking to someone who's a defender,
yeah,
then that's when the giver leaves going, but I don't think the defender leaves going, was I a little cold?
Mm. No, I think, you know? No, they don't, they're not concerned about it. And there are people, and we're talking about a very specific thing, comedy, show business. But they're just people out in the world where my best analogy is the sixth sense. I'm around these people, and before I even see them, I can see my breath suddenly. I couldn't see my breath before, but now I can see my breath. And then I turn around, and that person is standing right there, you know?
So let me ask you this question. Knowing that, if you can predict that, especially with certain people, will you give less as a self-protection method?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will not only give less, but I will also say, life's too short. I don't think I'll go to that party.
Mm-hmm.
I think I choose not to interact with, and we're talking about Pat Sajak.
Let's put it on the table.
But I've learned with certain people.
I mean, he literally put shit on my forehead.
Yeah. He was the first
and
guy
you can
it.
See it on the wheel.
You can see it on the wheel.
You can see it on the wheel.
It's how they mark the wheel. It's how you cheat. It's how you cheat in Wheel of Fortune.
Cheat, he always puts it. He at the end, there's a little bit of shit right near the.
It's like marking cards.
Yes. No, seriously, look at Wheel of Fortune closely. You'll see a little bit of shit.
It goes like this. Tick, 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 tick,
tick, tick, tick, tick, tick, tick, can hear it because John has a musician's ear.
I have the
and
perfect
it's very,
pitch.
Yeah. It's very subtle. Slish.
Slish.
Slish. I saw a piece of corn fly off the wheel once. Oh, I swear to God. And they cut to Sajak, and he was eating corn on the cob. He was. And he said, chomp, chomp, we got a real good show for you today. Who the fuck eats corn on the cob?
On television.
On television.
Yeah.
While he's hosting a game show. Anyway, he'll get his. You'll get yours, Sajak.
Oh, man.
Pat Sajak is somewhere. Someone's telling him, Conan really outed you on the show for shitting onto your hand and rubbing it on the wheel.
Or he goes out to go to the supermarket and everyone's yelling at him, Corn Man.
Hey, Corn Man.
And he doesn't know why.
Hey, Corn Man, shit on the wheel lately?
Or he goes, they found me
yes,
out.
Yes, yes.
They
that's
know.
What he does. Somewhere a Sajak's like, no, how does he know?
Shit on the wheel lately, by the way. Went
anyway.
Very unnoticed in that back and forth.
But those are the things where... Those are the things where, okay, so we've been talking a lot about comedy, and my curiosity is I always, for me, music is the other. It's the thing that I don't understand, put up on a pedestal. I've always said, if I could make my living legitimately in a rockabilly band, singing and playing rockabilly music, you would never see me in comedy again because it would just make me so happy. Mm. That's an illusion because it wouldn't. I'd say, how come no one's laughing?
Right.
Well, they would be laughing, actually.
I'm playing Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah, yeah.
By Johnny Horton. How is this not killing?
Why aren't they howling
aren't
right
they
now?
Why aren't they howling?
Don't they know this is a real Gretsch 6120 from 1959? It's got the Cattle Brand on it.
I've got a harmonic tremolo on.
But no, I've always put what you do as the other. And so then I think what we all do is we tend to think, my thought is, okay, I'm here in comedy and I'm always living like second to second. And if something goes wrong, I've got to quickly figure out how to fix it. And it could all fall apart any second. But if I could play guitar and sing and write songs like John Mayer, I'd be bulletproof. And yet I talk to you And you don't feel that way at all.
Well, I don't feel bulletproof, but for different reasons. I always tend to have a different version of the same problem everyone else has. I worry the entire time I'm playing on stage, but I don't worry about whether I'm good enough to make it happen. That's set for me, right? It just happens to be set. What I worry about is, am I playing the song anybody wants to hear right now? Is there another song I should be playing other than this one? So I have the fear they're going to walk out and go to the bathroom. Not because they don't like me, but because I'm not playing what they want to hear.
Right, right.
And it's the blessing and the curse of having 8, 9 albums and so many songs being so different. And I also don't love playing the hits. Sometimes what makes a hit lacks a little bit of song fabric that you can work with every single night.
Right.
And if I don't play something that I'm, well, it goes both ways, right? If I'm playing Daughters, if I'm playing Waiting on the World to Change, I will say to myself, oh, they don't want to hear this. This is all played out. This is just a hit song that used to be on the radio. No one cares anymore. I should be playing something a little deeper, something a little more texture. Then I play that. And in the middle of playing that, I go, they're going to walk out. They came here. They got babysitters. They want to hear the songs that made me famous. So I can't ever, as I'm playing, find that happy place where I'm like, they're fine. Don't you think it comes down to like, they're fine out there. They can handle themselves.
Right.
They're okay. Don't worry. If the audience could tell you one thing, it would be, we're fine.
Also,
have fun.
It took me a while to learn this, but there's something about a group think. Audiences as a group are highly intelligent. It's one organism. Like when you get that many people together and they smell things, and if they sense, and one of the things, and it may be true in music too, but in comedy, they're just, a lot of times they're looking for confidence. Do you have the confidence to, are you worthy of our time? Mm-hmm. Do you know what you're doing and can you lead with authority?
In music, it's, are you having a good time doing this?
Yeah. And in comedy too.
Yeah. They would hate to know. If I got on stage and said to the crowd, it's so good to see you because I have a really bad headache.
Oof.
And then I went and played the show. They would probably develop like, you know, sympathetic pain in their, or they'd go, oh, he has a headache.
Well, for years for the 28, 30 years of doing late night television, my heart would sink when a guest would come out and they're doing okay. And then they'd say, these stories suck. In front of the audience.
Yes.
And the audience, I would always say afterwards, I mean, I wouldn't lecture them. That sounds stupid. But I'd be thinking to myself, the audience was okay.
Until you.
My job is to let the audience know that this is just exactly the interview I wanted,
mm-hmm.
whether it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you turn to them and say, you just bought a lemon of a car.
Yes.
That Datsun I just sold you sucks.
Yes.
I know there's not
You are the spiritual leader of them.
Yeah.
That's why if you break a guitar string, most people in the audience don't know how insignificant breaking a guitar string is. They think you might have broken the instrument.
Right.
And if you go, then they go,
yeah.
If you play right through it, they don't even notice after that. I never apologize. I've seen artists apologize on stage, and I've told them myself, never apologize from the stage.
Right.
I'm sorry. I have a cough, cold tonight.
You're not getting my best show.
Never, ever say
no, no, no. You have to, I mean, this is all very elemental stuff, but it's so fascinating to me that I love that it's true in comedy. It's true in music. It's probably true in business. It's probably, I mean, it's a very, I think cult leaders don't say, I'm sorry, that thing I said last week about, you know, I have, an angel is going to come and he's going to be wearing goggles. It's not goggles. I misheard the angel. The angel will be adept at Google is what I meant. You know? Yeah. It's authority. You're, and you know, sadly, I think it works in politics too, where someone who you think is a complete idiot, if they say things with great authority over and over and over again, and I'm not naming names, but I think we know that we're all talking about Gerald Ford.
Well, listen, I've said before, if
you're not a Ford guy either, good, because we got to take him down.
If Donald Trump weren't saying the things he was saying,
right,
and was saying things, let's say, that were benign,
mm-hmm.
he would have a lovely speaking voice.
Yeah.
He could have narrated Royal Tenenbaums.
And it would
be great. Someone can use AI, I'm sure. A fastidious fan of yours will use AI.
And have Donald Trump narrate Royal Tenenbaums.
And it wouldn't be terrible.
Wouldn't be terrible is my benchmark. you just described. That's our best review. No, it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, I had the honor of, very recently, of going to talk to President Biden. And I'm a huge presidential history buff. And he was lovely to me, and we had a very nice conversation that wasn't really that political at all. One of the things I noticed is that he speaks quietly, but what he's saying was great. He was a terrific. It was a terrific conversation, and he has a quieter speaking voice as opposed to, say, a Trump who can say crazy things like, aardvarks should mate with zebras, and if he right. but he says it loudly.
Right,
and everyone goes, that's a leader.
Right.
And I think to myself, he just said aardvarks should mate with another species.
I like when he reads from the teleprompter and reacts to the teleprompter as mm-hmm. he's speaking. And aardvarks should be mating with zebras. And they should be mating. He's sort of reading for the first time. And you can always feel the binary of when he's going, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they should be. Oh,
he's reacting.
It's a good one.
And they should be. They should be mating. Should be. And then he goes back and he's reading. And they should. And they should.
And they should.
And he goes back. I just love the moment he realizes what he's reading.
Yeah.
And reacts to it in real time.
It'd be funny if they just put a recipe in there. And he was just, so he's talking about like, and we're going to do this about right. the border. And another thing, if you're making buttermilk biscuits, a quarter.
At high altitude, one egg only.
One egg only. One, you know,
it only takes one egg.
Takes one egg. But I like, he's going like, just one egg, you know, because it's a higher altitude.
It's a higher altitude. So and it, then he goes back, and you can feel him go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of honey in with the, because, you know, it adds sweetness. It does. Add sweetness to the biscuit. But I'm realizing that it's, presentation is so much of it,
yeah.
And intent. Like, what was your, you know, getting back to like comedy and possibly music, but when you talk about worrying whether people are walking out or do people want to leave right now and go buy a soda or alcohol soda, where have I been?
No, they want to get a pop. I get it.
Okay, okay, yeah, okay. It's the Nickelodeon wards. You're just about to be slimed, and kids are leaving to get a. I'm just going to get a soda. Kids have cigarettes, but they're also drinking soda. I'm going to have a cigarette and a Fanta. I don't need to hear this song. But it's just, it's, I think the one thing that's changed with me, and it's come with age more than anything else, probably some erosion, like experience, just yeah. a lot of abrasion and erosion, but also just time is, I don't want to misquote, but I think it was George Wallace, someone like that said, who's, you know, this great stand-up comedian who's around forever and plays Vegas. And his attitude was, well, they got the show they got. That was the show I had tonight. And I gave them the show that I had. And I think about that every now and then. They got the show I had to give them. That's what I had to give them tonight. And I gave it to them.
I have a couple thoughts on that. And I forgot one of them. But there's a difference between giving a good show and having a good show.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to give a good show, and it would be nice if you also had a good show.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when you get both. But even if you didn't have a good show, you can be sure that you gave a good show. And that brings me back to the thing I just remembered, which is I do this thing now if I start to get in my head while I'm playing, and I go, yeah, it doesn't have the spark. They're not loving it. I go, let's do a quick checklist. Mm-hmm. Are these the songs on your albums? Are they played in the original key on the original instruments they were recorded with? Are you singing in English? Are you singing the lyrics that are germane to the song? What else do you need? Well, what else do you need to give? And couldn't you do that when you were, is it me? Have they come to see me?
Right.
Am I speaking English? Am I telling jokes?
Is my hair up?
Is my hair up?
If my hair is high, yes. That's 50% of why they came to
listing.
See me. Yeah. If there's all a sag.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because it is actually, a lot of people know this, but there is a very sort of more scientific type of therapy that I've experimented with in the past called cognitive therapy. And cognitive therapy is very much about your emotions, everything is driven by thoughts. So you do a checklist. And I've just found what I liked about it was that it made so much sense because I would go into these very dark spirals. And one of the things they teach you is get out a piece of paper, write down all your thoughts. People hate me, blah, 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 blah. My career's over. You write all these things down and then you walk away for like 20 minutes and then you come back and you look at them and your job is to respond to what you wrote. And if you even wait 20 minutes, everything you wrote on the left-hand column usually looks pretty silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's naked, so it looks very ridiculous. So if it's you, what you would have written down is, you know, people hate me. And then you come back 20 minutes later and you're like, I just played for, you know, 50,000 people.
Right.
And they cheered. And I've been doing this for 30 years or 25 years, whatever, and I've sold this many albums. I suck at the guitar. Well, let's take a look. Yeah, I opened for the Rolling Stones.
That's right. No, that's right.
I played with B.B. King.
Right.
I played with Eric Clapton. Right. I've played with everybody. I play, you know, I'm just a popper. I am a great jazz aficionado. Right. I am, and so you look at it and suddenly it all falls away. And you realize how stupid our thoughts are. We're bombarded with stupid thoughts all the time.
We're really bad researchers. If we applied the same methodology to actual rigid scientific research that we do to our own thoughts, we would be looked at as the most insane people of all time.
Right.
Because nothing would compute. The measurements and the weights would make no sense.
Right.
And you would say, yes, there are 400 seconds to a minute. And you go, how did you figure that out? It just felt like 400 seconds or to a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're just terrible compilers of factual information as to what's going on in our life. And the grand total will come out sometimes in the negative.
Yes.
And it's just the math is wrong. That doesn't help everything just to know the math is wrong. You have to still fix the math, but it's nice to know. And that's what age affords you.
Yes.
You skip all that stuff where you really feel the anguish and you go, well, let's fix it.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Let's
just
figure it
out. There's also something about, I'm a magical thinking, which I know is, there's a lot of magical thinking in my family and in my family history, and I have a lot of magical thinking. And magical thinking is just what we used to do for millions of years, not millions, but 200,000 years, humans would try to explain things they couldn't understand.
Yeah.
Why did Grog just get hit by a lightning bolt? And so someone else in the
right.
And someone else in the cave would say, well, I noticed that he spat out his food.
Right.
A piece of his food that had gristle in it before we went out of the cave. See?
Right.
If you spit gristle out of your mouth before you leave the cave, the gods will kill you with lightning. So rule number one, and it's just like, no, doesn't work.
And thus OCD was born.
Yeah, and every kind of eating disorder.
Yeah.
Nothing brings the family together like a large two-topping pizza. It's the perfect way to celebrate any occasion. This happens all the time at my house.
Yeah.
I say, kids, let's get together. Your father wants to tell you stories of his childhood. Nobody comes running, all right? But guess what? When I get one of those two large two-topping pizzas at Domino's, suddenly everybody wants to hear from Daddy. At Domino's, you can carry out large two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 for this week only. No limit on number of pizzas. What toppings do you like? I like pepperoni.
I like pepperoni. I like olive. I like bell pepper. I like mushrooms. I know you don't like mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to out me as a no mushroom guy, but okay. Domino's Pizza. That's the way to get the whole family together. And this is a great deal. Visit Domino's.com or use the app to order your large two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Okay, you freaks, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Right, guys?
That's what I think about all the time.
That's all I think about. I'm a real whiz. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. It just does.
Yeah.
Words.
So to reduce, what's that?
Words.
Yeah, exactly. That helped. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. You knew where I was going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. Please tell us what NetSuite is.
I shall. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system. It brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one, one platform and one source of truth.
Yeah.
By bringing all your major business processes into one platform, you will not only improve efficiency, you'll also cut costs. Yep. NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. That's why they call it the cloud. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. If you're not doing it, you should too. Hey, so do the math. That sounds aggressive. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Wow. Head to netsuite.com/Conan. netsuite.com/Conan. One more time if you weren't listening. netsuite.com/Conan.
often wonder, what did my grandfather feel when he didn't feel great? What would he have used? What would your grandfather have used to describe his state? I really think...
Oh, people didn't used to think about this.
I feel
this
weird.
Stuff.
Annie, I feel weird. But that must have been what it was. I feel weird going for a drink.
Also, I think going back to people weren't like us. They behaved... No one sat around talking about how they felt. Hardly anybody went to therapy. Freud shows up very recently in our history. And then it still hasn't caught on with a lot of people. But nobody talked about how they felt. And when people died, they died. Mm-hmm. And when people felt grief, someone brought them a pie and then said, you better get out there because you're fucking... Pigs are leaving the barn. Mm-hmm. There wasn't this, and I'm not saying...
a happy medium.
Yeah, there's a happy... Because I am not praising that era
But I also think that you can spend too much time in the boiler room of what's... Mm-hmm. It's not an objective world. The inside of your head is not an objective world.
Right.
Visit the way you would visit the spooky basement every once in a while just to grab something out of the second fridge.
Right.
And bring it back up. Because there are some people who only stay in the constant reportage of a very subjective world
that
can't stay the same. And so I don't know how you could lean your weight against something that's going to change every day. I don't want to say it's imaginary, but it is highly interpretive. And I think there's a this sounds great, doesn't it? listen to me go. But
no, it's good.
There's a sweet spot between interpreting your feelings and getting lost in too much of an abstract world. And you have to go in there for a minute, tinker under the hood, fix what you need to fix, and come back up into the more work at a steel factory, do objective things, write songs, write comedy, make things happen.
Action, yeah. Making stuff.
So can I ask you a question related?
Yeah.
Is the reason there are so many people here in this building sort of buzzing around with work and creativity because that's how you came up working on the TV show? And you want to carry that same vibe?
We knew you were coming, and those are actors.
Am I getting punked?
This is like, have you ever seen that movie, The Sting, where they have to pretend a casino, but it's an off-track betting place, but it's not, and they just hire a bunch of actors?
So Ashton is in the grooming van outside.
He's watching. I love being around a lot of people. I come from a big family, a lot of siblings, and a lot of chaos. I like having people around. You've noticed, I just love bouncing off of people.
Yes.
I get a perverse thrill out of them making fun of me. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they do. And
you get power from making fun of them.
Yes. I grow stronger by belittling them. If someone has an ailment, I really go to town. Where's your leg? Oh my God, Conan. Don't say that to Limpy. I should learn Limpy's name, by the way. Fell asleep on a train track. Terrible. But I love having people around, and I can't work in a vacuum. There are times if I have to really think about something, I need to go off and be by myself, and I loathe it. But then I have to go back into this. We have this Keebler elf tree going here, and I really love that feeling of bouncing off. I mean, I it's so funny because I've been in comedy for so long, and I can certainly talk a blue streak. But this podcast, I think what makes it the whole thing work is if I was here alone, it wouldn't happen. But I'm here with Son and Matt and Eduardo and Blay, and I can bounce off them. They can challenge me. We can get into it. And so there's a little bit of a chemistry here that really makes
it
special.
It's so good that as a guest, I was wondering on the way here, okay, what's going to be my tactic in terms of being funny occasionally? And then as soon as you went, I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about carrying the weight of any of that. Because to bounce off of you, to give you the idea, to set you up for the big joke makes me feel like I made the joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, also, there's a big thing you learn in anything is just, I don't care how we get there as long as I'm happy that we get there. Like occasionally we'll go and I'll travel the podcast and these two, I don't remember your names, but I'll get it.
You just said it.
I know. And I had it written on my hand, but then it washed away. My tears as I was laughing about Limpy. Tears of joy.
And yet you remembered his name, which...
I know!
He's got one leg!
He's got one leg.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, come on, get it together! Yeah. You don't sleep on a train track. Yeah.
I didn't even hear the train. Yeah.
No, you hear the train.
But like, this
pod... Who's sleep on the train, train?
That's the problem with those Acellas.
You
They're
hear
so quiet.
Coming on strong. Fell asleep on that train, train. When I woke up, I was walking all wrong.
Walking all wrong. I
walking
love that.
All wrong.
Oh, man.
All night long. I was walking all wrong. With one leg strong. And the other one hanging, just bopping along. I was walking along.
Okay, so you've got Ballad of Limpy.
A Ballad of Limpy.
And what is it? Shitfinger Jones?
Shitfinger Jones.
No, wait a minute. You have half an album
this
already.
This is what I do. This is what I do.
This is where you should come.
If I'm lucky, you guys go home tonight, take your jacket off, and you go, I was walking all wrong. And your spouse or roommate says, what's that you're singing?
I like
and you
that.
Go, Mare started singing it, and it's stuck in my head.
Is that the Ballad
I was walking all wrong.
So sing more.
I'm back on.
And also, in your version, the leg is still there, but it's hanging on by
a thread. In my version, it's on Tunnel of Love. By Bruce Springsteen.
The man in the sun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, it's Saturday night. I fell asleep on the tracks. And when I woke up, I felt something different run up and down my back. My right leg was mostly hanging on by a thread.
I love this song.
It's so good.
That was a great contribution, by the way.
Whatever you just did.
You act like I didn't elevate what John did. Elevated what John did.
No, you didn't.
John was singing in his barely passable voice. And then I added, which I think
that was
makes
like
it.
A 10 a.m. orgasm. I don't know what you were doing.
If I could have an orgasm at 10 a.m., I'd be quite happy, sir.
Yeah, you're about right for me. Someone's been looking at my iCal. High time, 10 a.m. high time. People want to go on a date. I'm like, sorry. Every day begins at 10:30 a.m. If you want to go on a date with me, you got to get your request in before 10 o'clock a.m.
The new Apple Watch has a function that lets you know when John Mayer is orgasming. And I didn't know how to turn it off.
Imagine that a macro. Like one more thing.
The YouTube album, it's just on there.
No, it's, I mean, choice. First of all, you can turn it off, but you have to go in to the fucking whole thing and turn it off.
Yeah.
So I'll just be walking, it'd be 10, every morning around 10 a.m. It goes like, and I'm like.
They'd say, one more thing. With Apple's new exciting Jack Track, you can find out when you or your loved ones are pleasuring themselves so as to better time your amorous moments. With a new longer life battery in the Ultra 8 and Jack Track.
I love the Jack Track. That's an app. The Jack Track. You've got two songs and an app out of this relatively short discussion.
That's what we do.
This is fantastic. Yeah. Hey, I want to make sure I mention something, which is that you have a channel.
I do.
Which I think is fantastic, which is you have your own SiriusXM channel, Life with John Mayer, and it's a different approach because you're not just playing your music.
Very little
music.
Of it. It bums me out when my music comes on. It's based on time of day. So,
and I thought of this because of the Jack Track. I'm not kidding.
Did you really?
But the riff about the Jack Track got me thinking, wait a minute, I know this sounds like a forced plug, but it's not. I think you have a very cool approach to having a channel, and I'm eager to check it out. But tell us what it is.
It's called Life with John Mayer, and it is not genre-based as much as it's based on the time of day.
Right.
Because when we got into algorithms and Spotify and stuff, we kind of got trapped in this idea of telling a computer what we want to hear. And I always say it's sort of like your grandmother keeping track of what you like.
Yes.
And and they're wrong a lot, you know? And I know you're pulling a Jack Track thing in on...
No. But, no, I wouldn't,
but,
never.
But
I would never go back to something crass. But, I would never call back a crass remark. Just not me.
But, you know, you go, I don't know. What do I want to hear?
Yeah.
And then you tell, you know, Spotify, and Spotify goes, I know what you want after this.
Right.
And it's the same 6-7 songs. And it starts to, like, for me personally, it was becoming claustrophobic. I'd go to the gym. I'd go, I don't know. Give me George Benson. Give me the night. And it would go, got it, son. And then I would know what was coming after that.
Right.
And I was just getting more and more confined in what I was listening to. And I thought, if there was a Sirius channel, where every time you turned it on, the music was synchronized to the time of day as best as possible. Like at night, it's super mellow music. So you can have it on in the kitchen. You can, I do, it's great. In the morning, it's like drive time music, you know, because when you wake up in the morning, you don't want it. It's not Tom Waits time.
No.
In the morning, it's okay to hear, you know, since you've been gone. And you might not play that. You might not think to tell Spotify to play that. But when it comes on, it 7 in the morning and you're in traffic, it's like right on. Right. It's great. It's like a cup of coffee, you know.
What's programmed at 10 a.m.?
Dead air.
I'll be back in 7 minutes.
We're going to take a quick break for between 7 and 11 minutes. We're going to let dead air speak for itself. I'll be right back, slightly out of breath and ready to play you some Pearl Jam.
I'll be right back after I find that Sports Illustrated with Kathy Ireland from 1992.
It's Throwback Tuesday.
It's Throwback Tuesday, so that would be Kathy Ireland, it's Sports Illustrated.
We're going to be, that's so funny. It's Throwback
Tuesday.
Then
you hear me opening a safe.
I like the idea. Your hardcore porn is strewn out and about throughout the house.
First of all, it's
Kathy
not
Ireland
online.
Is locked
it's
up.
Not online. It's in a safe.
You put on white cotton gloves.
Yeah.
Which is in itself a weird obstacle.
And then three to the right. And then hello, Miss Ireland.
It's like you got the blue booties on. Hyperbaric room. It's like the curation room of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No fluorescent lighting.
I love the burglars that come to my house and bust open the safe. They take the safe out of the wall and then they get it back to where their lair and they crack it open. Or, like, what the hell is this?
They follow you home and hold you at gunpoint to open the safe and you finally open it up and club magazines come cascading out.
These are all very attractive women from the late 80s and early 90s.
This is a printout of Samantha Fox.
Half of these are articles. The best VCRs of 1988?
You actually printed the article on most poisonous snakes? There's always one article. The deadliest snakes.
And every now and then I'm getting aroused by that.
Wow, an interview with the John 3:16 guy from the baseball games.
Where's Conan? Someone mentioned Egyptian asp. And he dashed off. He said he'd be back in 7 to 11 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy you're doing this channel, and you're going to be like taking calls. You're going to be talking to people
I go live. I take calls. Ideally, I'd like to do interviews with people. If you think I'm any good,
I would love to. I mean, this has been an absolute blast, mm-hmm. and I would happily anytime you want me come by. Yeah,
I'd love bring a guitar. We'll do buckets of rain. I actually mean it. You're the most encouraging person I've ever seen during a conversation. Are you aware that you give constant kinesthetic encouragement?
I'm loving this. This is one of my favorite episodes we've ever done.
Okay,
this is great.
I look over to you, and this is if everyone
it's
in the crowd
so good.
We're doing what you were doing.
Why do you think Conan keeps him around?
You're effusive. It's
you
great.
Know, the thing is, everyone else here cuts me down, and Blay is always telling me that was amazing, even when it wasn't.
No, it's great.
It is amazing. It's always amazing.
This episode
feels
is
so
great.
Good. It makes me feel so good. Honest to God.
I would be thrilled, honored to come by and hang.
I think I just need to do one really good interview and other people would maybe hear. I'm already down on myself about whether or not anyone would want to do it because it's so new for me.
Oh,
so
I wouldn't worry about that at all. I think you're going to do a great job.
I was thinking I've survived every scary thought I've ever had in my life. I've survived it. I've woken up the next day.
Right.
And I've survived everything I thought was going to kill me. And so now, and I got to a place where I feel like there's this trust in what I do with people that if I put a record out a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, people will go, oh, I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
So everything feels so set in a way that makes me feel like it's this until a doctor sits me down and says, you know, when I first got into medicine, I go, oh boy, you know, whatever that conversation is someday where I'm told I can't stay.
Yep.
That's the end of it. But until then, don't you feel like this is the straightaway now? This is the best?
Oh, I like this part
this
better
is the
than
best.
Any other part.
That you did all the work to get here
right
to where you can hire actors to hang out outside.
They're all, once you got into this building, I didn't want to pay for them the whole time.
They're eating across
they're
the street.
Gone.
Yeah, and they're not being paid for that time. But the minute you leave, they're all going to rush back. I actually have one guy in the corner sawing something. And there's no reason for a guy to be sawing something in a podcast.
You have a guy dressed like an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. Who's the man with the measuring tape? Who's just going around measuring everything.
And also, why did I make it look like an off-track betting place? And here comes Lucky Lindy in the straightaway. Hey, John Mayer, God bless. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And before you go, I'll show you. There are a couple of guitars up in my office, and you can laugh at them.
I really want to hear your Buckets of Rain.
You don't. No. That's not
and then happen. I'm going to play for you. I was walking all wrong. Don't think I don't remember that.
No. I've written them all down. You Great. Owe us big time. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.